This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
And John Ramos is here as well on this Friday. TGIF, boom, it is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. It's the gift that keeps on giving, the NBA offseason, plus an NFL veteran rides off into the sunset. All that and a whole lot more on this Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
here on
spooky.
Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, we may have something up our sleeve, just like those San Antonio Spurs, Jonas, as the Kawhi Leonard trade talks continue to go on in the NBA. But don't look at the Los Angeles Lakers right now as a destination for Kawhi Leonard. Report saying that the Lakers are in no hurry to make a move for Kawhi Leonard. So a new team is vaulted to the top of the Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes. Not the Lakers, not the Celtics, not the 76ers. Your Eastern Conference regular season champion, Toronto Raptors,
yeah,
are atop the betting odds
is,
for
baby.
Kawhi Leonard's
Canada.
New destination. Yeah. Oh, Canada.
There it is.
Up there.
I got news for you. If Baghdad had an NBA team, they'd trade him to Baghdad instead. The Spurs are not going to gift him anything. They're going to make this as difficult as possible. And I'm sorry for everybody that wants to defend Kawhi Leonard and Kawhi Leonard's people and his camp. You guys butchered this. This is your problem. Now it's your fault. And you just got to deal with the repercussions.
Looking at the situation with the Spurs, we have heard reports that they wanted Brandon Ingram from the Lakers. Don't know what the Celtics would give them, but likely they would want Jaylen Brown as part of the package. These are just some of the names that were popped up. Dario Saric, part of the Sixers deal. Plus, first-round picks was a big thing. With this Toronto Raptors talk, it's interesting, Jonas, to hear it centered around DeMar DeRozan because he is thought to be the top player on the Toronto Raptors, but coming off of an awful playoff run. So if you look at the pieces around and you look at the accomplished players, Brandon Ingram, Jaylen Brown, yeah, up-and-coming player, but DeMar DeRozan has the most accomplishments, at least to his resume of being an all-star, than any of those players. And at least if you're the San Antonio Spurs, you would be getting an all-star, an annual all-star, maybe a little difficult to crack in the West, but a much better talent than you would get in the other deals with Boston and the Lakers.
And you've got control for a couple of years because he signed the big-term deal in Toronto. And I love the – first of all, this is my favorite story in sports. We can talk all we want about a Wimbledon set that lasted 3 days, and that's fine. If you want to go waste your time with that, waste your time with that. The Kawhi Leonard-Spurs dynamic is the most interesting thing in sports. Last year, it was the Redskins and Scott McLuhan and that whole fiasco. Mm-hmm. This is a disaster. you could not find – two sides that want nothing to do with each other more than the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard. And then you've got USA tryouts or whatever coming up soon where Popovich is going to be a part of. Reportedly, Kawhi Leonard's going to be a part of. This is fantastic. And the idea that not only will the Spurs not placate to Kawhi Leonard and put him in L.A., they'll trade for another L.A. native and send him to Toronto to get back that L.A. native, just to dangle the whole L.A. dynamic around with Kawhi. I think it's fantastic. I love it. I think the Spurs are handling it perfectly up until the point where it's getting too late and you need to get something back for him.
Well, let's start with the point that you bring up. This is good on both sides of the equation. This isn't just a team letting a player go. Like when Paul George, and this is, I think there are parallels to take when you have this Kawhi Leonard situation and the Paul George situation when you put Toronto in the mix, Jonas, because the deal to Oklahoma City, now it's worked out really well for the Thunder that Paul George has committed there, but there was a lot of thought around the league that Kevin Pritchard dealt him to Oklahoma City because he felt it was a place where A, they could get some good players in return, but B, it was a destination that he wouldn't want to be long term. And there were others, maybe he could have dealt him to the Lakers. Maybe he could have dealt him in a three-team deal to the Cavaliers, which was one of the trades that was out there that he ended up backing out of the Denver-Cleveland Pacers deal, Kevin Pritchard did, that would have sent Paul George to Cleveland. So he ends up sending him to Oklahoma City instead. No offense to Toronto, but the fact of the matter is, I don't think the Raptors and that organization in that city would be on a top five list of destinations for Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure if it would make the top 15 in destinations for Kawhi Leonard, since Toronto is a long way from Southern California. So this has the essence to me of a little, let's stick it to him and send him to Toronto, where we can also get a good player in return. And there's a lot of ramifications on the Raptors side of things as well. But this San Antonio side of things reeks a lot of what the Pacers did last year with Paul George.
Yeah, and there are some people that say, well, Toronto's a great city, and maybe he goes there and he falls in love with it, and you take a chance that, you know, he's not going to be there long term. And that's fine and all. But when your camp comes out and they say, we'll only go to this team, and that's the only way it's going to be, and you're dealing with an organization that wants nothing more than to not help out somebody inside their conference who they've had a rivalry with in the past, then you shoot yourself in the foot right off the bat. At least Kyrie Irving a year ago said, I'm willing to go to X amount of teams. It didn't mean he was really willing to go to X amount of teams or stay there long term, but he gave you options. He gave you the idea that there is something else that would be available or possible should you find a better deal. Kawhi Leonard's camp wanted to play hardball, and they wanted to do it a year early. You have no control in this. Like, at least if you want out and you want completely away from the situation and you want out that badly, you figure out a way to make it work. You find an exit strategy that's going to get it done faster. Now you're in limbo. They're floating out Toronto. There's been other teams that have floated out there, none of which are the LA Lakers. I'm sorry, you set yourself up for failure the second you came out and said only the Lakers and that's it.
Isn't this why you put more than two things on your Christmas list?
Yes.
Because you leave it up to chance if you don't put seven or eight things. That's the thing, is like, okay, yes, I'd love a box of baseball cards when you're a kid. Yes, I would love that jersey of my favorite player. But you can't just have those two, because you're also likely going to get more gifts, and then you're leaving it up to chance to everybody else. That's what Kawhi Leonard, when he's just saying he'd like to go to Los Angeles, preferably the Lakers. Okay, you put two things on your Christmas list. Now, if those two things don't happen, you're just leaving it up to chance. He could have done reverse psychology and said, I want to go to Atlanta, Orlando, and Memphis.
Keep me the hell away from L.A. Yeah. I hate that place.
I do not want to go anywhere near Van Nuys. I don't want anything to do with it. That's what Kawhi Leonard could have done. But no, he's limited his options. And from the Toronto side of things, Jonas, I think this is almost as intriguing with the San Antonio Spurs, because so much of the conversation over the last week or so, or the last couple of weeks since free agency started, is how do you compete with the Golden State Warriors? And if the Raptors were to do this deal, in essence, I would say that it may not look like they're competing, but I think it would say we are competing because we realize what we have in our current situation isn't enough to beat them. We couldn't beat a one-man show in LeBron James in Cleveland to make it to the NBA Finals. There is no way that we are going to be able to move past that. You said it yourself. The Raptors took their shot and maxed out in their Serge Ibaka deals. You've talked about it a lot. This would allow them, if Kawhi Leonard came aboard, and even if he left after a year of free agency, it would get them out of the DeMar DeRozan business, where he's got the couple of years left on his contract, as he said. And with the Raptors, knowing that your ceiling is only so high, maybe even a reboot of all of this is what's best for the organization. So I look at it as the Raptors situation. You bring in Kawhi Leonard, you're better for next season if Kawhi Leonard ends up playing. And now you don't have DeMar DeRozan sticking around for a couple of years at that $27 million. He can opt out after 2020. But I look at it from the Raptors' position of, hey, why not now if the East is so much for the taking? I mean, LeBron's gone. The Sixers are still trying to find their way. The Celtics are welcoming Kyrie and Gordon Hayward off of injuries. Why not go take a chance? I think for the Raptors, I think this would be a huge, huge move to hit restart and restart that franchise and do it in a way that really doesn't hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Now, we've talked about how it'll benefit the Toronto Raptors. We've talked about how it would benefit the San Antonio Spurs. We've talked about how it would benefit Kawhi Leonard. And we've talked about how it would benefit DeMar DeRozan. There is one entity here, Dan, that we need to talk about what would benefit them the most. You know who that is?
No,
maybe the most important.
Who's that?
You and I, Dan,
yeah.
Because we got a lot of time to fill on weekend radio here. You and I do shows on the weekend, and let me tell you something. The best thing for our business is that Kawhi Leonard stays with the Spurs, because if I'm going to watch a boat sink, I want to watch it in slow motion. I want to see every window break. I want to see people jumping off. I want to see everything that comes along with it. I don't want it sped up. We need this to continue on in all the way through to the summer. Get us through some of the boring training camp stories. Like, oh my God, two teammates fought in an NFL training camp. Wow, never seen that before. Unbelievable. Get us through all that. Get us through baseball. We need this story to continue. Please stay with the San Antonio Spurs.
It is a history-making day here on Fox Sports Radio on the Doug Gottlieb Show. For the first time ever, we've talked about the Raptors in a positive way.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations, yeah. Toronto Raptors.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now, he spent 15 years in the NBA. This is our Fox Sports NBA insider, Olden Polonis, joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Hey, Olden, how you doing today?
I'm good. How you?
We are doing great, and
How you guys doing?
It's a Friday, so we're doing great. We're doing remarkably well because Kawhi Leonard is in the news once again with a reported deal or an option to go to the Toronto Raptors, according to some sports books out there, as the Spurs may be dealing the forward on the. Just overall look of this deal. How would you view Kawhi Leonard going to the Toronto Raptors as a former player with everything that's gone on behind the scenes of the Lakers talk and the Sixers and Celtics talk? How would you view it if Kawhi Leonard ended up with the Raptors?
Well, one, it'll be based on what Toronto has to give up, but I would say it's similar to LeBron being in the East now. You know, they would just dominate because Kawhi is one of the best players we have in this league. And so to me, he just makes, you know, a team that had the, you know, the best record in the East that much better. But again, it's based on do they have to give up, even if they have to give up DeMar DeRozan, I think they're still the best team in the East with Kawhi Leonard.
Hey, Olden, if you were still playing, what would be the worst team to get traded to? If you had a couple of teams that you would say, oh, please, Lord, don't trade me there, whether it be location or just roster.
You guys asked the wrong guy. You know, you guys always ask the wrong guy those kind of questions. I was the guy that I don't care if I was in Timbuktu, man. As long as I'm playing and I'm getting paid, I'm happy.
Come on, though. There's
there
got to be
no bad team. I mean, hey, I'm going to try and make the teams I'm on better. You know, I had the pleasure of, you know, helping two teams make the playoffs for the first time in their history, which was the L.A. Clippers and the Sacramento Kings. So I kind of bring good luck a little bit.
Olden Polonis joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. What would it say about the Raptors, though, if they were to deal DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard on just the guarantee that Kawhi would be there for one season?
That they're trying to win. They're trying to win right now. They're trying to get into the finals. And also they know what they have in DeMar DeRozan, and they know what they're going to get with Kawhi Leonard. To me, DeMar DeRozan has a shelf life, and it's unfortunate, but you know we know how far we can get with him. But Kawhi's a champion, and so we want to experience that. You know, if I'm the, you know, Masai Ujiri, I'm saying to myself, okay, I want to experience the finals with a Kawhi Leonard. I'm not going to get there with DeMar DeRozan. He's proven, you know, that he has limitations. And it's unfortunate, but that's just how it is. Some guys are meant for the moment and some aren't.
Olden Polonis with us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Fox Sports Radio NBA insider, longtime veteran of the league. Do you put any... not that it has to be anybody's fault, but if you were to say the demise of the Kawhi Leonard San Antonio Spurs relationship, who do you put the blame on as to why it fell apart so fast?
That's a great question. It has to go in order, basically. It was San Antonio's problem. I mean, it was San Antonio's fault in the beginning, you know, because they questioned his manhood and everything else. And then when Kawhi never spoke a word, and it became a Kawhi problem, and Kawhi became the scapegoat. And so right now, that's where we're at. You know, it started out that, you know, it was San Antonio's fault and how they handled everything, but now it's Kawhi's fault and how he's handling everything. You know, be professional. That's the whole thing. Be a professional, because this is a profession. Handle the thing the right way. Don't have, you know, people speaking for you. You have a good relationship with Pop, you know, regardless of what the media is saying or what we perceive. You guys had a good enough, you know, relationship because he gave you an opportunity. So you owe him that much. and vice versa. So they should have sat down as men and hashed it out and figured out something and gotten it done. Now it's deteriorated to this point, and it's just getting worse and worse, and that's why he has to be traded. There's no way, you know, like I always say, my favorite saying, you can't put the doo-doo back in the horse.
Holden Polity's 15-year NBA vet joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer, in for Doug. One more on this Kawhi thing, and I know it's a little dated, but did you have any problems with what Manu Ginobili or Tony Parker said during the season about Kawhi?
No, I didn't. I mean, that's your teammate. Those are your guys you grew up with, basically. You know, they should be able to come to you and question you. It's like, hey, what's going on? Is it something serious? Is it not serious? Are you mad at the organization? What's going on? They've built enough cachet to where they should have been able to do that. And just like Kawhi should have been able to go to Tony and say, hey, Tony, you're hurt right now. What's going on?
Yeah,
you can question your teammates, you know, because there's guys that, come on, we know that. There's guys that fake the funk on injury. You know, there's being hurt and then there's injured. And sometimes, you know, guys don't know which one's which. And so, again, this organization has always been able to protect everything. And now we're seeing everything fall apart. I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I also looked at it that Manu Ginobili has been wondering for the last couple of years if he was going to come back. We obviously know Tony Parker's no longer in San Antonio anymore, so his time at the time was running out with the Spurs. Just their stature and what they've accomplished and how long they've been there, I thought, gave them reason to say whatever they wanted, considering the situation for two guys who are about to ride off into the sunset with an organization that they spent their entire career with. I didn't find anything wrong either, so I was just curious on your take on that.
Yeah, and they're doing the thing that they've never done, rebuild. You know, they let Kyle Anderson go. Kawhi's going to be gone. They're in full rebuild now.
Olden, we hear a lot about Olden Polonese with us here on Fox Sports Radio. We hear a lot about, you know, players want to go to L.A. and it's all about, you know, the market size and this and that. And so LeBron James chose the Lakers. You being somebody, and you mentioned it earlier, being a member of the Clippers during your time in the NBA, why have the Clippers still not been able to attract big-time free agents? They've had a better run than the Lakers recently. They play in the same building. What is it about the Clippers that still appears to be a turnoff for free agents?
Well, it's just a little bit of everything. The fact that, you know, they've never won. You know, yeah, they won a few games here and there, but, you know, they've never won a championship. They've never gotten to the finals. They've never gotten to the Western Conference finals. So it's like that's a knock, and players don't want that. You know, we're all creatures of the moment, and we want what's hot right now. So, you know, they want to be with the Warriors. They want to be around LeBron. They want to be on those, you know, flashy teams, you know. And it makes it tough for them to get guys unless they draft them or something happened like with Chris Paul. You know, we ended up getting Chris Paul, but it's still tough. You know, it's tough to get marquee guys. But I do believe that Kawhi, with him saying that he wants to be in L.A., he never said it was the Lakers. I could see him ending up with the Clippers.
Olden Polonese joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Beyer. Of course, Olden spent 15 years in the association. Last one for me. There's a report Carmelo Anthony and the Houston Rockets could be a match, that the Rockets are the front runners to land the forward once he gets out of Oklahoma City. Do you see that being a match in Houston if it happens?
It's going to have to be, because he's not a match anywhere else. And so that's the thing for him. Unless he's able to say, hey, I'm willing to come off the bench, I'm willing to put my ego aside, he's going to go the way of Allen Iverson. And it's unfortunate for him. You know, he did his thing when he was playing, but you're not the same player anymore. I think, you know, with Houston, he has a relationship with D'Antoni, and I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. D'Antoni basically said, you know, putting all that behind me. So we'll see. But again, you're going to have a lot of offensive firepower, but where's your defense coming from? So it's a tough situation. If I was him, I would go to Miami. Miami can withstand that. You know, they can give him more minutes and, you know, more playing time, but, and they have defense. So that would be the better situation. But Houston, we'll see, I guess.
Find him on Twitter at Olden Polonies, 15-year NBA vet and Fox Sports NBA insider Olden Polonies. Thanks, Olden. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
DeMarco Murray retired from the NFL today. After 7 years in the National Football League, Murray has called it quits, was doing some TV recently, and now has announced that maybe that'll be his next venture because playing is no more.
Good for him, man. Guy gets out by 30 years old. Running backs take a pounding in the league. He made a little bit of scratch while he was there. I think he played 1 year on a franchise tag, if I'm not mistaken. Or that was the possibility, and then he ended up signing a big-time deal. But he made a little bit of money, so he got out by age 30. I would love to see more guys play the Sean Alexander route, where I think Sean Alexander got paid 3 times in his career as a running back, which was pretty impressive. But good for him.
Well, this is the situation that Le'Veon Bell needs to look at, because DeMarco Murray had that rookie contract with the Cowboys, ended up being a free agent after the year. He led the NFL in rushing with over 1,800 yards, and then signed that huge deal, $42 million for 5 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. What's interesting in all of this, DeMarco Murray, in that $42 million contract, in addition to the money that he made during his rookie deal, which wasn't a whole lot, under $1 million in those first couple of years, DeMarco Murray ended up making a total of $25.7 million in his entire career. And the reason that number is unique, and it's a great number, and I think a lot of people would love to take $25.7 yes. million dollars in their career, is that's less than what Le'Veon Bell is making last year and this year. If he ends up, you know, playing under the franchise tag for $14.5 million, he would have been playing for $26 million over a 2-year span. So it looks like, Jonas, on the outside, that Le'Veon Bell has really played things the right way. But when you take a step back and you look at how NFL money goes and what Le'Veon Bell had with him on the table, if you're a young running back, and I know DeMarco Murray's situation is one that you could follow, but what he needs to realize is that you've got to take the money when you can. Le'Veon Bell is going to be 27 years old in February, so he'll play next year at 26 years old. If he would have taken that deal with the Steelers, he could have made $42 million in the first 3 years, $30 million in the first two. I know that's a lot of numbers, but the point is he would have made more in those 2 years than he has under the franchise tag. He then could have hit free agency again before he's 30 years old and still have the value of a running back in the National Football League. It's a short career. We've known that. But I think DeMarco Murray's tale is, hey, take the money when you can get it, because you never know when it's going to come to an end. And for DeMarco Murray, it came just 3 years after he signed his huge deal.
And this has picked up a lot of talk in the past couple of weeks, because 'tis the season. Every time the NBA starts free agency and a bunch of guys get paid, or you look at mediocre players and you see the contracts that get paid, NFL players start chirping about, oh, well, we're not happy about our, we need guaranteed money, we need guaranteed contracts. And the fact of the matter is, in the NFL, if you want guaranteed contracts as it stands right now, before the new CBA comes out and they determine that, you've got to take it on short-term deals. So the idea that franchise tags are a bad thing, yeah, they're a bad thing if you look at it from, well, it doesn't give me security beyond that point. But we've seen players utilize the franchise tag and be smart with it. Guys like Kirk Cousins, who was really smart with it, he's in rarefied air. But you've also seen guys like Alshon Jeffrey, who's been really smart with it. The fact that people, I think, would look at this and go, and you and I agree that there was an offer on the table that seems like it made a lot of sense. He's going to end up losing money the first couple of years with Pittsburgh. There's also a segment of the population of NFL fans that think, man, Steelers, what are you doing? Why don't you give this guy, sign him already, get him done, get the contract done. They gave him a damn good offer. Mm-hmm. If it's what was reported, it was a damn good offer. DeMarco Murray was smart with it in that he got a contract that he felt was deserving of after his big year in Dallas, and he got it, he made his coin, and he got out with it. If Le'Veon Bell, it's a gamble, but if he does see the end of this franchise run in Pittsburgh and then gets another big-time contract afterwards, he's going to get paid a lot. But it comes with a caveat. What has Le'Veon Bell dealt with his entire career? Either off-field issues, injuries, mm-hmm. Like all of that is it comes to. And I just think at a certain point, Le'Veon Bell looked at this and said, well, I want to get paid like this guy, and this guy without factoring in all of what comes with why those guys got paid and why a team would be hesitant to pay you. And he didn't do that. DeMarco Murray didn't have off the field issues. You know, he got a contract that was that was deserving of, had no off the field issues, and he got paid, and now he's out of the league at 30. If Le'Veon Bell is looking at this from a Kirk Cousins standpoint, I'll be fascinated to see if he gets through healthy and without any issues, because then it's going to pay off. But as it stands right now, he lost money.
The Kirk Cousins at the quarterback position is the only position in the National Football League that I think that you can do that, because it's the only position that will give you more money as you get older. And it's so unique. You want your veteran quarterback to stick around. Yes, you want him to. At every other position, heck, we're sitting there looking at it. When does he turn 30? When does he turn 30? DeMarco Murray turned 30. You just can't do that. And that's why, like, Le'Veon Bell, it seems like it's great playing for $14 million and playing for $12 million and he wants $17 million annually. But if he gets that contract, he's already short $4 million from what he could have gotten in that long-term deal. That's tough to make up. And if you're Le'Veon Bell, think about this. If you had another good season this year, Jonas, and it's now the next offseason, he's a free agent, would get another franchise tag. I know it wouldn't be the $17 million, but you have that $4 million cushion to work with. You've got to take your money and do that short-term deal, whether it be a three-year deal or something to that effect, something that David Johnson probably wants to look at for Arizona, because it may seem like you're really playing it well with the other team. It only happens, I think, if you're a quarterback. I just don't see it working out for a young running back. And you look at the way that it played out with DeMarco Murray. He went to Tennessee, had almost a 1,300-yard season, and the Titans were like, okay, well, we're going to give Derrick Henry some more carries the next year. And now two seasons removed from that almost 1,300-yard season, he's out of the league.
I think NFL players, if they really want this, if Le'Veon Bell went to the Pittsburgh Steelers right now and he said, hey, how about 2 years, $30 million guaranteed, would the Steelers take that deal?
Yes.
100%. Yeah. If you're Le'Veon Bell, why the hell wouldn't you either? I mean, that's guaranteed money. And if you get through it, you've got $30 million and you could potentially become a free agent again afterwards. Alshon Jeffrey did it. He took a $9 million deal after he was on a franchise tag the year before. So in essence, he made $23 million because he trusted himself on a short-term deal that he was going to get paid. And what ended up happening? They didn't see the end of the season before they re-upped him for four more years. I just think if NFL players really want this money, they have got to do it in short-term installments. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins did it. I don't know that he could get a three-year commitment from the Pittsburgh Steelers, but if he walked into their office and said, 2 years, $30 million guaranteed, I'm yours, the Steelers would get him in the prime of his career. They'd be out of it afterwards. You could throw away the franchise tag. You don't have to give him the franchise tag designation this year, and you could be done with it in 2 years for a guy who's got off-the-field issues. But he's playing hardball, wanting like a five-year guaranteed contract, big money. They're not going to do it. It's not happening.
$17 million annually is reportedly what Le'Veon Bell wants for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's just not going to happen.
No.
And if he wants to make the 15 over a piece over the two, as you mentioned, that's something you've got to take. You've got to take the guaranteed money when you can, when you're an NFL running back. And DeMarco Murray is a perfect example. It's not that DeMarco Murray played it wrong. DeMarco Murray played on his rookie contract, hit free agency when he did, and all of a sudden now he's out of the league after 3 years. That is now, Jonas, the lifeline that is the typical career of an NFL running back who has made it. Not let alone somebody who hasn't made it, but that would be considered a good career, and that's why it's so important to take that money, because DeMarco Murray took that money when he did, ended up making a majority of his money from that, even though it was just, and I'm using air quotes, $25.7 million.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now to talk baseball is a national columnist for Bleacher Report, and also worked on a new book with former Major League pitcher and mental skills coach Bob Tewksbury. Former pitcher in the big league, Scott Miller, joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Scott, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. Exciting time of year. Trade deadline coming up, All-Star game coming up, all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, and L.A. is pumped as well because the Dodgers have made it to the top of the division, taking control of the NL West last night, albeit by a half game over the Diamondbacks, but the Dodgers are actually in first place, and here in Southern California, it is a big deal. So my question to you, Scott, is now that they are in first place and have been in the thick of it lately, how active do you see the Dodgers being as the trade deadline comes up in a couple of weeks?
Oh, I think they'll be active. The question is, are they going to be active on a marquee player level or on a role player, supporting player type of level? They've been linked to Manny Machado forever, mm-hmm. since Corey Seager went down with the bad elbow and needing Tommy John surgery. The Dodgers absolutely are talking to the Orioles, and that maybe we'll see that happen. I tend to believe Machado will go to Milwaukee or New York simply because the Dodgers' history, under their current baseball operations czars, which has been, by the way, a very successful history, getting back to the World Series last year for the first time since 1988. But they don't fork over their best prospects. You know, we saw that last year. They went and got Yu Darvish because he cost less in prospects than Justin Verlander did. A few years back, Cole Hamels, they had a shot at, they bypassed him. So I don't know that they're going to give up some, grade A-level prospects for Manny Machado. I kind of think they need to add to their pitching depth. Not real sexy starting pitchers out there available right now, but whether it's a starter, a bullpen guy, I believe that's the way they'll go. But, it's early yet in the trade deadline season, so we'll see what develops.
He is Scott Miller. He covers MLB for the Bleacher Report with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Scott, Manny Machado's the big name. He's the one that everybody's been talking about. Who are a couple of names out there that maybe haven't gotten as much buzz that would be have a real impact on a team down the stretch that could be dealt at the deadline?
Well, I start with starting pitching because that's what everybody wants. And as I said, it's a little bit of a down year. I mean, Cole Hamels of Texas is out there. He's got no trade power, so he can kind of direct where he winds up. But, Cole Hamels is not peak Cole Hamels, and he hasn't been throwing particularly well lately. But, he's been around the October battles. He's not going to fade from the spotlight in October. You kind of know with a veteran what you're getting. He would add depth to somebody's rotation. J.A. Happ in Toronto is another starter that is available. Possibly Michael Fulmer in Detroit. That's the guy I would keep an eye on. In terms of other guys beyond Machado, relievers are always sought after. Brad Hand in San Diego is a guy that, Padres are asking high right now, but, a lot of teams, Dodgers could use bullpen help. Boston Red Sox could use bullpen help. Baltimore, jumping around, hopscotching around here. We hear so much about Machado. Adam Jones is a free agent at the end of this year. Granted, he's 32, he'll be 33 in August, but, he can still bring it. And I know his center field skills aren't what they once were, but, he's a force offensively, and it would be interesting. The Orioles are going to have to rebuild. Zach Britton, their closer, he just came back from the disabled list. He's available. Now, I think he'll be a trade if he does go, which I think he should, closer to July 31 because, as I say, he just came back from the DL. And you've got clubs are going to want to make sure he's healthy and see him pitch a few times before they make any deals.
Scott Miller joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Jonas Knox. I'm Dan Byers. We're talking Major League Baseball. What about the surprising NL East? And I think that's what we're just going to call it for the entire year with the Phillies and Braves being on top. Do you see either of those two teams doing anything prior to at least July 31st?
The Phillies seem to be pretty aggressive. I know they were in the Manny Machado talks for a while. Phillies, I can see. I think both clubs are in a little bit of a danger zone. And the only reason I say that is because you're right. They both, Atlanta and Philly, have had surprisingly good seasons. And I say danger zone because they're both rebuilding. You don't want to, overestimate your own club, and I think both Atlanta and Philly are close, but I also think there's a danger in maybe swinging for the fences and trading away you know, one or two prospects that maybe you shouldn't because you're tempted to go for it this year. So from that perspective, I think it should be very interesting to see what either both the Phillies and Braves do. Phillies seem, like I say, to be more aggressive. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, Atlanta earlier in the year, they tried some small potatoes upgrades, you know, like Jose Bautista after Toronto let him go. And, you know, Bautista could play third base. That didn't last long. Whether they've got Camargo there, you hear some lower level names. Mike Moustakas, the third baseman in Kansas City, for example, that is probably going to be available. You know, you wonder if Atlanta or somebody might take a flyer on somebody like him.
Scott Miller of the Bleacher Report is with us here on Fox Sports Radio. He covers Major League Baseball. Dan Byer, Jonas Knox in for Doug Gottlieb. So we've talked about how, just to make an NBA parallel, we've talked about how the Spurs have never had dysfunction within their organization. Now all of a sudden they've got it with Kawhi Leonard. The Cardinals have kind of been the Spurs of Major League Baseball, to where they've always had a ton of success, they're always relevant, and there's never really a lot of dysfunction. And now multiple times this year, you've had the incident with Dexter Fowler and the front office kind of barbing at each other in the media, and now you've got Jordan Hicks and Bud Norris. There's apparently a rift there. What is going on in St. Louis?
Yeah, you're right. It's interesting. I think, you know, one reason you're seeing these things come up is they're not winning, or they're not playing up to the level that they're accustomed to in St. Louis. As you said, you never hear about dysfunction in St. Louis. Well, what's the common denominator? Kind of like San Antonio all those years. The Cardinals have been winning and winning and winning, and all of a sudden now this is their second or third year in a row where they're not, you know, a factor, at least, you know, so far. They could be still this year, but they missed the playoffs the last couple of years. And so, you know, all of a sudden you begin to see tension. You begin to see guys maybe pressing or feeling the pressure. And so you're right. I mean, you know, the veteran Bud Norris has apparently been going old school on the kid, the Hicks, and you know, almost, you know, razzing him like the way veterans used to haze rookies. And, you know, Mike Matheny, the manager, who's been starting to be under fire, you know, doesn't see anything wrong with it. Of course, Matheny's an old school guy, and as you mentioned, in the front office, there was some, you know, some published shots at Dexter Fowler, questioning. You know, Fowler's one of those guys. He's so smooth. He glides on the field that when things aren't going well, you can say, "Geez, is he putting out all 100% effort?" And when things are going well, it's like, "Oh, he's Mr. Cool." You know, it looks effortless. And again, winning, not winning, playing well, not playing well. When things turn a little bit, things can go sideways. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. As I say, Matheny's beginning to be under some heat in St. Louis. And if they don't have a strong recovery this year and roll into the playoffs, you could see some moves made.
Scott Miller of the Bleacher Report talking Major League Baseball with us on Fox Sports Radio. Choose which way you want to take this. Are you shocked that the Red Sox are up 39.5 games on the Orioles, or are you shocked that the Orioles are 39.5 games back of Boston in the AL East?
The latter.
It's ridiculous.
I thought, yeah, going into the season, guys, I think this is one of those rare baseball years where when we all look at things in spring training and pencil it out, usually, you know, things go sideways and it's like, hey, not even close to how we predicted it. Well, in the American League, it's gone exactly like we predicted it would go, except so from that perspective, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros, I thought spring training, and I know I wasn't alone, a lot of us thought those were going to be the superpower teams, and they are. So I'm not surprised that Boston's doing what they're doing, but yeah, you can't – to look – as we sit here on July 13th, we haven't even made it to the All-Star game yet. And for a team to be, whatever it is, 38.5 games out of first
place. Yeah, 39,
place, 39. It is absolutely humiliating for the Orioles. And also, you know, as many bad teams as there are in baseball as we speak, you know, between either teams just underachieving or teams that are tanking, there's a competitive balance issue right now in the game that baseball better hope is short-term and not long-term.
Scott, before we let you go, because we're up against it here, but we want to find out about, you've got a book that's getting rave reviews. A lot of players have reached out and commented on it, John Lester among some of them, with Bob Tewksbury. And it talks about just the mental approach to the game. Explain where we can get a hold of the book and just sort of what got you starting to think about putting something like this together.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. To answer your first question, as they say, it's available at fine bookstores everywhere, 90% mental, as you said, by Bob Tewksbury and I. Barnes & Noble, whatever your favorite bookstores are, it should be on the shelves now. Also Amazon.com, online, at your favorite places. Tewksbury is in his second season as a mental skills coach for the San Francisco Giants after 12 seasons of serving in the same position as with the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, it's an interesting subject. He reached out to me a couple of years ago via email. I've known Tewks for a while. Said, would you have interest in writing a book? And knowing Bob is really good at what he does, he's really well-respected, and I'm interested in the subject. I think it pertains not just to baseball, but, you know, as Bob says, this book obviously is a baseball book, but it's more a mental skills book with a baseball narrative. You know, some of the stuff in there that Tewks teaches, breathing, imagery, visualization. You know, if you're out on the golf course, you can apply it. If you're in your office trying to work with coworkers, you can apply it. Everyday life, in other words, there's a lot of what we think are life lessons. It was a fun project to work on. A lot of great baseball stories in there from both when Tewksbury played in the 80s. And 90s, and also some current stuff. You know, John Lester was great. You mentioned he tweeted and sent a nice endorsement out. He's one of the guys that is a key player in the book, because Lester does all kinds of things to sharpen his mental skills. He worked with Tewksbury for many years, and he really respects Bob. And so it's been a fun project. And like I say, I think, you know, there are a lot of lessons we all can achieve that, you know, basically a positive result never comes from a negative thought. That is one of the themes in the book. And, you know, God knows how all of us in our daily lives, how many negative thoughts come at us, and we got to keep batting them away.
The title of the book, 90% Mental, an all-star player turned mental skills coach reveals the hidden game of baseball. Co-author Scott Miller, of course, covering the MLB for the Bleacher Report. We appreciate it, Scott. Enjoy the all-star break, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.